The gospel that we heard just now challenges us about otherness. It challenges us to overcome our sense of other, especially when we interpret other as dangerous or bad. And the lessons in this gospel are far-reaching and subtle. For example, what have we always called this story? The parable of the Good Samaritan. What does that name imply about Samaritans? That not all of them are good. Right? Right? We don't say the parable of the good white person. Right? We wouldn't say that, would we? We would recognize immediately in our own day if someone tried to tell, let me tell you a story about a good black person. We would be offended. But we call the story the Good Samaritan. And in just even in that name, we miss the point of the story. It's a challenge, this story. It's a far-reaching challenge that the more we think about it, the more subtle the thoughts get. So the first thing that happens is a lawyer comes to talk to Jesus. And we assume, because the author says comes to test Jesus, that this is an adversarial conversation. So that's one of those places where our assumptions about the other trip us up. There's nothing in this conversation in first century terms, and especially in first century Judaism, that is necessarily confrontational. He asked Jesus a question, a perfectly reasonable question. Jesus responds with another question, a perfectly typical way that teaching happened in the first century. What do the scriptures say? And here's the interesting thing. The Greek actually, Jesus says, how do you read? Meaning, how do you read the Torah? How do you interpret it? So Jesus is genuinely asking the lawyer for his thoughts and what he thinks about what's in the Torah. It's not a test as in, have you memorized your Torah? What does it say? It is, all right, how do you read the text? How do you understand the Torah? So in the Greek, Jesus says simply, how do you read? And so the lawyer gives his interpretation. He uses a verse from Deuteronomy and a verse from Leviticus, and he says, I think these two verses pretty much sum it all up. And Jesus says, you got it. Absolutely, I agree with you. Go do that. That's exactly right. And then he asks another question. All right, since we're parsing out this understanding of Torah, who's my neighbor? And the text says wanting to justify himself. And we read that and we think wanting to justify his past behavior. But he could be wanting to make sure he does just behavior in the future. Again, we make the lawyer other. And the challenge of the whole story is about overcoming otherness. So let's read it the other way, the way that says he wants to justify himself in the sense of he wants to act justly into the future. And so he asks, who is my neighbor? And then in a very traditional teaching style in first century Palestine, Jesus tells a story. He tells a parable. He tells the parable about the man who falls among robbers, and a priest and a scribe pass by, and they don't stop to help. And in reality, the peasants to whom Jesus spoke, they wouldn't have understood the mindset of a lawyer. That was a scholarly level of attainment that most of them didn't have. The same with a scribe who could read and write, and most couldn't read or write. And the same with a priest who went into the temple and did mysterious things that people didn't know about while they waited outside. So the person that Jesus' hearers could empathize with in the story is the man in the ditch. That's the one people could empathize with. They could understand the man in the ditch. They could understand being treated harshly. They could understand being beaten. They could understand being robbed. Jesus' hearers, as he talks with this lawyer, are left with only one figure that they can identify with in the story. And it's the man in the ditch. When we read the story, we stay outside of it and watch. And we identify various people as problematic. We make them other. The lawyer, the priest, the scribe. And we don't sometimes think too much about the man in the ditch. Who acted correctly? The Samaritan, the lawyer, the priest, the scribe. Well, the Samaritan did. Okay, so maybe we should do that too. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with we should do that too. But the challenge of the story in the first century context is that most of Jesus' hearers would have connected with the man in the ditch. And Jesus says to the lawyer, all right, the question was, who is my neighbor? So who was neighbor to, significantly, the man in the ditch? The one who showed him mercy. Right? Now think about that for a minute. Who's my neighbor? The one who showed you mercy. That's not the example that we normally think of with this story. We read this story and we think, and it's not a bad reading, it's just not the only reading. It's not a bad reading, is that the story is about us going out and being a good neighbor. And that is true. That is what the story is about. But it's also about the fact that when you need mercy, otherness goes right out the window. When we need mercy, we're happy to get it from anyone that can give it. And all our thoughts about who is other go away. And so one of the challenges of the story is to look at the fact that otherness isn't this hard and fast category that we think it is. That really and truly, otherness is a category that we make up. And if we need enough mercy, we'll get rid of the category of otherness in favor of having the mercy. It's a challenge, this story. It's a challenge to events in our news today, this story. And then it's also a challenge to us, therefore, to think about how we might let go of categories of otherness in order to go out and give mercy. The story ends with Jesus saying, go and do likewise. So the lawyer who is questioning his teacher Jesus, whom he calls good teacher, the lawyer is questioning his teacher, and his teacher teaches him to switch his focus from defining who is my neighbor to the recognition of neighborliness has, jettisoning the concept of other and practicing mercy. Jettisoning the concept of other and practicing mercy. Wow. That's a startling teaching. That's a challenging teaching. No matter how good I may pretend I am at doing that, there will always come that moment. There will always come that person. There will always come that occasion when I'm thinking, back away. Careful, danger. Other. It happens to all of us. We all trip up and do that, don't we? We all do it at one occasion or another. No matter how much we try, good with good intention, not to do that. At some point, we all slip into the old behavior. Other. Danger. And so this story exists as a call to us to continually work on that. And to work on it at more and more subtle levels. To catch it at a big obvious level, like, I don't want to help that other over there. I want that other to go away. That's kind of big and obvious. But something like the Good Samaritan is a subtle othering. As in, all other Samaritans are bad. So we're invited to embrace the idea that mercy trumps otherness. Otherness goes right out the window when we need mercy. And that Jesus uses that as an example for how we might work at overcoming our own tendency to make folks other. By remembering who showed us mercy, and by passing it on by showing mercy ourselves. And that becomes a process and a way with attention to work on the problem of making people the bad other. It's a very fascinating story. It's a very subtle story. It's a very challenging spiritual discipline to overcome otherness and to love our neighbor as ourselves.